In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, Tossing Live, and at player.fm. Also listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone. Using our 24-7 listener line, provide a talk stream live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM and FM and digital affiliates, WJNW AM 1650 in Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio AM 1620 KTFL Gilbert, Arizona. WNQL Radio FM 105.5 Brevard, North Carolina. Coppin County Talk Radio AM 1680 KCTR Terrell, Texas. WDFP Digital Radio Atlanta, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
Well, it's a big day for some Democrats, I guess. It's the criminal announces her run for the presidency.
Yes, the queen bee of the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, is supposedly going to announce today. When we went on the air, she had not announced yet that I know of. But sources say that sometime today she's going to release a video announcing her candidacy for president of the United States in 2016.
So I think it's funny that she's doing a video, don't you? I mean, she's not coming live to do it. She's doing a video.
Well, yeah, and there's reasons for that. Number one, I'm not sure she can fill up a room, which you know, whatever. But number two, if you do it by video, you don't have to take questions.
I thought it was funny that when she took questions the last time about the emails, that she was at the United Nations.
Yeah, because she knew she wouldn't. It would be the pool of reporters would be there from all over the world. And that's why you got some of the lame questions you got, you know? So anyway, before we get started real quick, I want to mention that Red State Talk Radio was featured on RokuGuide.com. If you guys aren't familiar with that, if you have a Roku, you probably are. It's a website that promotes and shows all the new public channels that are on Roku, which is over 1,800 plus now. And also it does private channels. And the thing is, we've submitted Red State Talk Radio as a public channel. They have a huge backlog, though. It's been a few weeks now. And the way I understand it, it may be 2 or 3 months before we finally get approval because they have just so many people that are they're submitting their channels. But anyway, I went ahead and submitted our channel as a private channel, and just so that we could kind of get the word out there. And so it's been featured on their website. And if you go to RokuGuy.com, you go for the most recent private channel listings, will be listed there. And of course, when we finally go public, it'll be listed there again too. So eventually it will show up under their public channel listings. But and also there's a link on the website, RedStateTalkRadio.com. You can click that, and it actually has, if you follow the link to the Roku Guide, if you just click add channel, it takes you to your Roku site, and you can add the channel to your Roku player. So it gives you the code and stuff that you need, whatever. And matter of fact, we get more and more listeners via Roku. I looked this morning, for example. We had at least probably out of the listeners that were on there, probably about 8 or 10 Roku listeners. And when you consider that we're not even a public channel, that's not too bad, you know. I mean, just the people have just stumbled across the website or whatever and figured it out and are listening that way. So, okay, that's it. Let's get started. We are going to talk about the presidential politics. We're going to talk about Rand Paul and Marco Rubio, and we'll do that probably in the latter part of the show. But let's get started on some other issues here that we want to talk about. This federal court has slapped down this request to let Obama's amnesty move forward. You know, this, I'm really starting to like this judge in Texas. I'm really starting to like this guy, because essentially he gave the Obama administration Justice Department lawyers, slapped them down pretty good. I mean, literally, in a nice way, called them a bunch of damn liars. And let's see. I don't know if you have that in front of you, Ken, but the quote he gave, where he was sitting there telling them what all they did and what they didn't do, and he was trying to be, I guess, politically correct and saying that maybe it was on purpose, maybe it was an error or whatever and stuff like this. But it was real clear he knew what the hell they were doing and what was going on. And basically denied them, because they wanted the whole thing squashed. That did not happen. But the Obama administration has gotten this thing moved up, and it should hit the courts here pretty soon. And who knows what will happen there. So basically what they're doing is getting out of this judge's hands. They know they don't have somebody they can play with there. So they want to move it to a higher court. Because this federal judge is, he's, I like the guy. He should run for office. of course, he's probably happy being a judge, whatever. But did you get a chance to read that, Ken?
Yeah, I think the guy's got, I always wonder with judges, do they really, I wonder how much, is there any pressure put on these guys? Other than, I know that they're not like the Supreme Court. They have no the pressure is usually the media and the maybe political pressures inside the city. But judges that are not in the Washington D.C. I always wonder about them and how what kind of pressures are they under? Because I don't know enough about judges to understand that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I were him and I were a federal judge and I had just defied the Obama administration several times like he has done, I would get me a bomb sniffing dog. I would take it with me everywhere I go.
It's like that Chicago politics kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it does make you wonder. It makes you think.
I would have that bomb sniffing dog in the front seat right before I turned the key for the ignition. I'd be wondering the whole time.
So we make a joke, but I kind of wonder how far goes.
If he were to suddenly have an accident like that, that would probably be high profile. It might get some people's attention. That's one good thing about being a federal judge. If they start dropping like flies, hopefully. Well, I don't know. The way the media is now, they might not. That might just be. I don't know.
Yeah,
makes you wonder sometimes. But
it does.
It's one thing to get some guy, a reporter that maybe not well known or something like that. Or there's enough accidents, I think, that happen around the country. Well, we won't get into all that conspiracy stuff, but still, it still makes you wonder. I'm going to talk about this thing, this article that I posted on Red State Talk Radio. Bill Buckley, there's a article that was written by the guy at the American Spectator. I put it on Red State Talk Radio about Bill Buckley, about that he did an article back in the, if I remember right, I don't have it right here in front of me. I think it was back in the late 50s. He wrote an article about America being in the grip of the liberal media. Now, this is back, I'm not kidding you, back in the late 50s. And if you read what Buckley wrote at that time, it's exactly what we have now, except he apparently saw a lot sooner than a lot of us did. And I don't know if you remember William F. Buckley, Ken, very much, but I do. I think he was the first, quote, intellectual conservative I ever listened to or heard of. His television show he had, first of all, the guy was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But second of all, he was hard to kind of keep up with, because he was so well read that when he would start going on about something, he would twist in little innuendos and little jokes that were almost private jokes to himself. I mean, I consider myself fairly bright. I'm not a genius, but I can do okay. There were times when he would blurt out something when he was talking about something, and I'd be sitting there going, okay, now what's he talking about there? And then he would go on, and I was always trying to play catch up with the guy. And eventually I would usually get what he was talking about, but I was always one or two sentences behind him, because I'd be sitting there, and this is before Google, where you could look it up. I'd be sitting there racking my brain going, what the hell is he talking about there? But he was just, and he did all this, of course, without teleprompters, without anything. He just had that vast knowledge that he used. And his logic was so good. When he had to debate liberals and stuff, it was not even, it was like bringing a knife to a gunfight kind of thing. It was not even close. Did you ever watch him in the old days, back in the?
I just know he came on the scene. We were, what, born the time the book you're talking about?
He came on the scene and really was America's first recognizable conservative. About the time we were born, literally. Yeah, I mean, about that time. Yeah.
The book was 59. Mm-hmm. I was born 58.
Book was 59. Okay, I knew it was late 50s, but I wasn't exactly sure. But I remember him, being on television in the 70s.
Yeah,
maybe the 80s. I know he died sometime in the 80s, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think he died in the late 80s, maybe, or something like that. But he was definitely on the air in the 70s.
He died in 2008.
Oh, 2008. Well, where did I get that from? Oh, well.
I don't know.
Never mind.
He was born in 1925.
Okay.
The article you posted has got the dates of his born and death.
Well, I guess he was on TV in the 70s and 80s. I don't know if he was. I don't know if he was still on the air after that. Now, maybe he was. I just don't know. But the magazine he started and the show he had was really the first. I think that was the first time I ever heard really someone espousing conservative political thought in the way he did it. And then, of course, you had people like Reagan come along and spoke more so to the American people. Because let's be honest, Bill Buckley, William F. Buckley, was not a beer-drinking kind of guy. People who... He was not your average, everyday American talk show host, whatever, I guess what I'm trying to say. He was definitely on the high side, and a lot of people understand what he was talking about.
Well, think about this. How many conservative presidents have we had recently?
recently. We've not had one since, I think, 1988 or whatever. What Reagan mean? Left office, well, as far as
concerns. The only one we remember, in our lifetime, I guess, is Reagan. There's not another one.
No, there's not. Because Bush, the senior Bush, even though he was Reagan's vice president, was not a true conservative. He was more conservative than other people, perhaps, but
yeah.
I wouldn't consider him a true conservative, just like I don't consider Jeb Bush, and I don't consider George W. Bush.
No, of course not. So, no. I mean, when I think of George W. Bush, I think of the, you know, when he left office, how much debt was accumulated during his 8 years. And I was like, oh, God, the amount that was spent was ungodly. And then, you know, here comes Obama, who's doubles it.
Yeah, makes Bush look like a amateur.
Yeah,
when it comes to spending,
which is scary to know that. Okay, the last Republican president was that kind of a spender, that type of that it wasn't a real conservative in that respect.
Not fiscally, when it comes to fiscal policy.
And if that's the case, we really need a conservative to be elected to get this country back on track. I mean, we can't keep going the way we're going, Primo.
Yeah. I know. Well, I did again. I didn't start the clock. So. Jesus.
I saw your face the way you made that.
Yeah, I mean, face because I'm thinking, God, don't. Okay, I'm going to kind of do it. You say something, Ken. I'm going to sit here and try to figure this out real quick. just kind of do a song and dance here real quick.
Well, the song and dance was that we thought after 4 years that we could. Is it 4 years? 5 years?
No, we've been doing this over six years.
Okay, 6 years. You think we would have figured out by now.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not on your end. I'm pretty much scot-free here. I'm in Atlanta and you're in Tennessee.
Right.
So I can't actually watch you start the clock. So it's not my fault.
It's not your fault?
No, it's not. Now, a lot of things are my fault. I, over the 6 years, I'm probably 90% of them, but
no.
This is yours, your baby. See,
I keep doing this, and I'll do pretty good for 2-3 weeks, and then I have a clock started now, but I'm having to guess.
Now, back in the old days, I say old days like they were 50 years ago. They were only like 3 years ago. With Blog Talk Radio, we had a chat room going, and there's a lot of other things to
distract.
Mess with. Yeah, and. But there's no really.
Well, one good thing about Blog Talk Radio, and I'm glad we're gone from there, but one good thing about Blog Talk Radio is when you did your show, it had a clock run right in your face. And so you knew, and it did it automatically. I didn't have to do anything.
That was a trick.
That was a trick right there. Yeah, you could see it too. So you knew that we were about to approach us. Yeah. You know, we were about to end the show. So you'd kind of get prepared and all that kind of stuff. But now it's up to me to actually start the clock. And of course, I don't freaking do it half the time.
You went to the college, I did.
Anyway, I am estimating, but I think we've got a couple minutes before we got to go to break, so we're not going to actually bring up let's bring this up real quick. Obama and Castro in this meeting they're having, the whatever the deal of the Americas, whatever the hell the name of the meeting is. Obama and Castro shaking hands, sitting down, getting their pictures taken, actually having conversations, blah, 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 blah. And that may not seem like a big deal, but it's the first time a U.S. president has done that in a
50
long
years.
Time. Yeah, basically about 50 years or more. And they seem like they were getting along just fine. And, of course, you have one tin pot dictator and another one. You know. So
yeah, why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they get along just fine? And Obama just wishes he had Castro set up.
One communist to another.
Yeah, because he, if he had his way, that's exactly the way we'd run this country. And you know what? Because the mainstream media, lamestream media, and our spineless people in Congress and the Senate, he pretty much has his free reign anyway. So,
yeah.
You know. you know, he can pretend he's all for democracy and all for the republic and all that kind of stuff, but he pretty much gets away with murder and is able to do whatever he wants for the most part. So, okay. Anyway, let's see. We got about 20 seconds. I tell you, let's just go ahead and go to break. And when we come back, we got plenty more talk. We can talk about Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Hillary Clinton, basically all the presidential stuff. We'll do that at the second half of the program. Thank you for listening to Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you a homeowner at least 62 years young? Need extra money to make ends meet? With a government-insured reverse mortgage loan, you could use the money as you choose. If you need money, a reverse mortgage could be a real blessing. There's no monthly mortgage payment, and you still own your home. Plus, you can use the money to pay off bills, make ends meet, or as you see fit. If you're a homeowner at least 62 and you need money, make this no-obligation call right now and learn how a reverse mortgage may allow you to eliminate your mortgage payment, remain in your home, and get extra cash. Call right now, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. That's 800-365-7254. Borrowers are responsible for paying taxes and insurance. AAG offers FHA home equity conversion loans. AAG is based at 3800 West Chapman Avenue, 3rd floor, Orange, California, 92868. Visit AAG.com for more information. NMLS number 9392.
Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster.
Okay, welcome back. I think we got our clock problems figured out, and hopefully we will finish this thing on time. Let's talk about... let's talk about South Florida. You know, we know that Jeb Bush is going to run. He hasn't made his official announcement yet. We know he's going to run. And Marco Rubio, like we talked about last week, is renting out the Freedom Tower in Miami to make a special announcement, I think tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. And like we talked about last week, he's not renting that tower out to say he's not going to run. That's not that's not the way it works. So the people in Florida are kind of being divided now, especially in South Florida. Are they for Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio? At least people who are Republican or who vote Republican. You know, you have a big Cuban population there in South Florida, you know, Ken, obviously. And I think Rubio's going to get most of those. But now Jeb Bush speaks Spanish very well. And he has ties to the Spanish community when he was governor there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, at least in that state. Who do you think has the advantage, at least in terms of dividing up Florida's electoral?
Well, I was going to ask you the same thing. If the election were today, what do you think would happen?
Just in Florida, you mean, or nationwide?
Yeah, just in Florida.
We'll start with Florida. Just in Florida. Even though Bush has ties to the Spanish community, and he did what some people consider a decent job as governor, and he might be in some ways more recognizable in some ways, but he's been out of office for several years now. You got to remember that. But Marco Rubio is from Cuban heritage, mm-hmm. And even people who live in Florida who are not Cuban but they speak Spanish. And plus, here's the thing: Rubio's new. Bush is old, and I don't just mean by his age. I mean he's old news. He's part of the Bush dynasty. We've already had two President Bushes, and he wants to be the third one. And I just think Marco Rubio is a fresh face. Doesn't hurt that he's a handsome man. He looks good on camera, all that kind of stuff, you know. The fact that he's young and vital and has some pretty good ideas on a lot of stuff. Now he's not perfect. There's been some times where he's making some missteps, in my opinion, especially when it comes to immigration. But I think he has the advantage. I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think Bush?
I could be a little biased here because I like Rubio, but I think because here's the swing to me. This is a swing thing. The deal is Rubio is very articulate, very well spoken, even though Bush is you know, he's got that political thing down too. But Rubio has got, you know, I've never seen a politician hit with any kind of questions and be so articulate and so well spoken as Rubio, not since Reagan, that Now, I don't know about the humor. Reagan always infused the humor.
Yeah.
But Rubio can handle himself. And when he came on the scene, he was a young senator. And I remember Kerry firing questions at him on the Senate floor. And Rubio just knocked down everything that Kerry was firing at him and made Kerry look like silly. And I said, this guy's going to be president one day. I just knew it. And he will be. I don't think, if not this time, he will be down the road.
Well, one thing you said that I would maybe make an addition to what you said, someone who can handle himself, like you said, Rubio can handle it. You know, when someone throws something at him, he can. I think Ted Cruz is equally good, if not maybe better. But Rubio, if he can, here's one good thing he has that I think that Cruz lacks. He seems to have a better understanding of foreign policy. Not that Ted Cruz is a dummy. I'm not getting at that. But Rubio, especially when it comes to Cuba, and he just has a more rounded way of dealing with foreign policy issues, which I think Americans, here's the thing. Yeah, we want a president who can do this, can do that, and this, and the other. But when it comes right down to it, what's the president's primary job when you think about it? It's to keep the country safe.
Keep the country safe, yep.
That's exactly right. And if you think that Rubio has a good foundation on foreign policy, that's something I would look toward if I'm trying to decide who I'm going to vote for versus, let's say a guy I think has a great economic policy, but he doesn't know anything about foreign policy. And if I have a guy who knows enough about economic policy, but is really good with foreign policy, I go with the foreign policy guy because, to me, that's his ultimate job. When it comes right down to it, if you think about it, when it comes to economic policy and domestic policy, the president should stay the hell out of the way, pretty much. And his policy should be to encourage growth, opportunity, free markets, free enterprise, et cetera, and try to keep government out of the way as much as possible. If that's all they do, that's all they have to do.
I think Obama's really helped Rubio. And Rubio should really thank President Obama for his Cuban relations. Because when he did that, he opened the door for Rubio to walk right in.
Yeah, he most certainly did. He has done a big favor for Marco Rubio.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Jeb Bush, and I've said this on a Facebook post. There were people talking about, they were talking about several people. But anybody who supports Common Core, I'm not going to vote for them. I don't give a damn who they are.
Nope. Me,
if Ted Cruz comes out tomorrow and says he's going to vote for that, he is in favor of Common Core, he's off the list. If Marco Rubio does the same thing, he's off the list. Because this whole idea of Washington running our schools and not, I'm just so against that. And the reason is, if you look at what's going on with our youth today, I don't think our children and our grandchildren, Ken, are stupid. I just don't think they're getting a good quality education. They're not being taught to think for themselves. And they're being indoctrinated and force-fed this crap. And Common Core is nothing but that on steroids.
Well, I'm a teacher, and I totally agree with you.
So, and I'm not usually I'm not usually a one-issue person. In other words, if there's one issue I agree or disagree with, that's usually not enough for me. But in this case, it is, because if we don't get a grasp on what the hell's going on with our youth, we're screwed.
Let me tell you something that's funny, because Common Core, the term Common Core, is being changed here in Georgia.
They've already changed it in Tennessee. I'm glad you mentioned that. They call it something else. I forget what they something standards. They come up with something, but it's Common Core, and they just changed the freaking name in the state of Tennessee.
That's because of the term Common Core, and because of the bad press it's getting.
Yep,
they're changing the terms.
It's like Acorn. They got rid of the Acorn thing, and it's the same damn thing. They just all changed the names different.
Here's the big deal. Global warming.
Climate change.
This is what happens, isn't it?
This is what they do. It's what they do.
This is what they do all the time. Oh, gosh, we can't do that anymore. Let's call it something else.
Well, think about it. Communism used to have a bad connotation. So they started talking about communism and socialism, both. So they started talking about social justice. Well, what is social justice? It's socialism. And that, of course, is the it's just a I'm just going to – I got to watch my language. I've got a thing I always say about that kind of thing, but I chose not to. They're so good. They're so good about the messaging part. I mean, really, you have to admire the way they do that because once they understand it, oh, no, we can't say that anymore, they just come up with another term, and they are still preaching the same thing.
Okay, and guess what? Next year, when I'm teaching, and I'll refer to it as Common Core, somebody will say, oh, it's not Common Core anymore. It's this. And I go, it's the same thing. You people, God, you're stupid. Don't be stupid. They change the name, but doesn't mean it changes the program. The program stays the same. Gosh, this just drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. Some people, they change the name because some people will fall for it.
Is a lot of the teachers that you'll be working with, and I don't really know them, of course, but what I'm getting at is a lot of the people that you'll be working with, they won't even realize what has gone on. They won't even we got rid of Common Core. We're doing this new thing called whatever the hell it is. And they won't even realize it. And if you point it out to them, they still may take them a whole year of doing it before they figure out, oh, you know, this is kind of the same
thing. If they figure it out, yeah.
God almighty.
Primo, that's why they do it. Because the masses, they're counting on the masses not paying attention.
Oh, Lord. We're in trouble, I'm telling you. We are
all you have to do is watch that, you know, Jay Leno had his, you know, the street talk thing and this. Did you hear that stuff?
Real quick, let me get this in here real quick. Last night I told you before the show, I had dinner with Don Newman and Donna Fiducia, who used to be at Fox News. They came up to Chattanooga, and we had dinner together, which was real nice. They bought my dinner, which that was real nice. But anyway, we had dinner together, and we're talking about Red State Talk Radio, my internet station, and they were talking about the WDFP, their internet station. And basically, we were there to kind of bounced a few ideas off each other and stuff, and to talk about some shop talk. Well, we had a waitress that was waiting on our table, and Don, he engages people all the time. And he's very nice. He's sitting there with a big cowboy hat on, and he's very nice. And the little girl's sitting there, and she kind of ran into a conversation we're having about politics. And you could tell she was kind of interested, but she didn't want to say anything. She was just doing her thing, you know. Don goes, he said, we were just talking about people like you, people, millennials, people like young people like you. He said, now, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, you tell me the truth, whether or not you've ever heard of this before. He said, and there is no wrong answer. It's not that if you haven't heard of it, doesn't mean you're dumb. You know, it doesn't mean whatever. I just want to know if you actually know what this is. And so she said, okay. He said, have you ever heard of Sharia law? She goes, no. Mm-hmm. And he said, you need to Google that. You need to look that up, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And so we sit there and we talked to her about several other things. Have you ever heard of this? Have you heard of that? And right down to she didn't know any of those things. Now, the girl, she wasn't a dummy. Very pleasant, very nice, you know, everything. I'm sure she's probably, you know, she looks like a college kid to me. I mean, of course, everybody does now these days. But another waitress came over, older waitress, and we asked her the same question. She goes, yeah, sure, I know what that is. And she started talking. And then Donna says, well, that's because she's a little older and, you know, she's, you know, whatever. And then we told the girls, and Donna Fiducia gave her card to the girl and said, check us out. Listen to our station If you have any questions, email me, whatever. Said I'd be happy to, happy to kind of point you the right direction to give you some more information. And she goes, you should tell some of your buddies, some of your friends. And after we got through with all that, I said, she probably goes sit there. And when she goes back, when she goes home tonight, she talks to all her buddies. She goes, you'll never believe what happened to me. Some crazy cowboy and some other guys. They were sitting there talking to me about Sharia law. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about, but I couldn't get away. I want to get a good tip. whatever. But that's what we're up against. And that's why I'm so dead set against Common Core. That in a nutshell. Because if I wasn't sure if I was dead set against it, I would definitely after last night. I'm not supporting anybody who's for Common Core, period. I don't care who they are.
Agreed.
Rand Paul, he announced this week, we got some time left, got to get this out here, he's going to run for president. We kind of knew that was going to come anyway, and he actually announced, I think, on Tuesday of this past week. Had kind of a rough rollout because Rand Paul apparently didn't like some of the questions he got from particular Savannah Guthrie from, I guess, MSNBC or wherever she's from. Basically telling her how she should do an interview, which, you know what, he actually was right. But he got a lot of flack for that. Of course, the media doesn't like when you pick on the media. And they'll all come to each other's defense on that sort of thing. Even Megyn Kelly on Fox News was kind of giving Rand Paul kind of a hard time about that. And I was a little surprised that she did what she did. That doesn't mean I don't think Megyn Kelly's one of the smartest women in the news business. That's not true. Matter of fact, when I've talked to Donna about this before, Donna Fiducia, again, who used to be at Fox News, Megyn Kelly was just coming on when she was leaving. And she had nothing but complimentary things to say about Megyn Kelly, about how sharp she was, how smart she was, blah, blah, and not to mention she's beautiful, but the fact that she really knows what the hell she's doing and very bright, et cetera, and all that sort of thing. So, but I was a little disappointed in the way she treated Rand Paul. And here's the thing. Rand Paul's a big boy. He can wear his britches the way, he can handle Megyn Kelly, at least to a point. And weren't you a little disappointed in the way she kind of questioned him and when she kind of asked him a little?
I'm not going to put her in the same
ballpark
as Savannah Guthrie. That's not even close to that.
There's about 100 IQ points difference between the two, I think.
I'm just saying the questions that were asked, it wasn't even close to what it was. But I go back to listening to Rush this week. He said, this is what it's going to be. Get ready. This is going to be gender wars. This is gender wars now because if Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee, then it's going to be, you're against women. Back, when Obama is, you're against blacks, it's racism. Now it's gender wars.
Sexism, yeah.
Yes, now it's the gender wars. Get prepared, buckle up, because here it comes. And he's right. And so they're going to throw every reporter that goes to Rand Paul and interviews him, that we're going to see on the liberal side of the media is going to be female, every one of them. And we're going to see.
You're probably right.
Yeah, and it's going to be set up questions to try to get him to make some sort of statement that they're going to plaster over every liberal news outlet across the nation, and to try to bring him down.
And they'll try the same trick with Ted Cruz. Now maybe Ted Cruz won't fall for it. Rand Paul kind of took the bait on a couple of those things, and. Yeah. He has a little bit of his dad in him when it comes to that. His father had little patience toward dumb questions.
Yeah.
And he had kind of a way about him that he would let you know he thought your question was dumb, but he'd answer it anyway. Rand Paul's got sort of the same sort of thing going on there. And let's face it. Now, there's things about Rand Paul I don't like. Let's say that. But you cannot deny the guy's got, you cannot say he's not smart. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
His philosophy's not the same as mine on some things, but he's I'm with them on a lot of things, but there's some stuff, especially we've talked about this before, but about foreign policy, I just don't necessarily agree with. But
well, he's not as out there as his dad was on foreign policy.
He's not as quote crazy as his dad. His dad, his foreign policy was just total isolationism.
Yeah. Yes,
He's not that bad. But he does have a little bit of that in some of his policy, but not nearly as bad as Ron Paul. No, not
that. I'd take him head over shoulders over Obama any day.
God. I mean, it's not
I'd take him over Jeb Bush. I would take him over Chris Christie. I would take him over, those type moderates. I would take Rand Paul for sure.
I'd take Rand Paul over a Rhino Republican any day. Yeah, any day. Even though I don't, Rand Paul is on a lot of issues very conservative, but on some things, again, mostly foreign policy, and don't agree with him on. But yeah, I would take him over. I would take him over Bush, or Christie, etc. Now, would I take him over Ted Cruz?
I wouldn't. But there's a whole lot worse than Rand Paul out there.
Yeah, and I would probably vote for Marco Rubio before I would Rand Paul.
Well, I would.
Just off the top of my head. But here's the thing. We need to vet these guys. We found out now what happens if you don't vet your presidential candidates. Look at what we have for the last 6.5 years with Obama, because nobody asked this guy any damn questions, basically. He got away with everything, and he still is. So I want all of them vetted. I want Cruz vetted. I want Rubio vetted. I want Rand Paul vetted. I want Scott Walker vetted. I want Huckabee vetted. I want them all vetted, and I want to find out what the deal is on all these guys, so that I have a decision to hopefully make a good decision as to who I'm going to vote for in the primary. Okay, let's move on to the Hilda Beast. It's supposed to be announcing today. As we went on the air, she had not announced yet. I checked Facebook and Twitter real quick and didn't notice it yet. I'm guessing she'll do it at we're a little past that now, but of course we've been on the air. We haven't had a chance to check, but I'm guessing maybe noon today, maybe later this afternoon, maybe this evening. I don't know.
It's noon now here, and
a little after.
As of right now, no.
Okay. She's going to announce she's going to run for president, apparently, is the word. Now, if she says she's not going to announce, and she's doing it that she's going to announce she's not going to run, if she's doing that on video today, that will be even a bigger story than she is going to run. Don't you think? If she were to run, don't you think that would be a huge story?
It would be, but I think she's in for such a rocky road.
Oh, yeah.
I just think Benghazi. There's so much left to learn about that.
Clinton Foundation, all the
emails
money.
Has just made it. The money from other foreign countries. I mean, this is a woman that's plagued with so much. I would want to be her, go run for president.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see the Saturday Night Live skit last night with Hillary?
No, I didn't watch.
Oh my God! I'm telling you what, I'm starting to. I have not watched Saturday Night Live in a long time, but if she announces today, I may start watching at least just to watch the Hillary stuff, because you got to watch when we get off air, Ken. You got to go to YouTube and watch her, and then of course. The guy that used to do Bill Clinton back in the old days, he was back. And Hillary's sitting there doing her announcement thing, and she's trying to do the video, and she's trying to do it with a smartphone, trying to use her BlackBerry to do her video. It is funny. It is actually funny. But then Bill, Daryl Hammond, who's the guy who plays Bill Clinton, comes in, and he starts sliding into the pictures, and he starts talking about, you can watch it. It is funny, right. And he does it. It's just both of them are funny as hell, and I got a laugh out of it. I thought if they keep doing that the entire time, that'll be just great.
I think her that's just kind of a side note, but I think her name's Kate McKinnon, the one that plays Hillary Clinton on the
show. Yeah, she does a pretty good job.
She is an excellent actress. She's going to be big one day. I mean, she probably already is, but she's going to, you know, she's going to go on her own movies and stuff. This girl's very talented.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, it's funny as hell. If you people out there listening, if you've not watched it, search for it on Google or YouTube. Saturday Night Live's cold opening from last night. It's funny as hell. Anyway, her candidacy. And here's the thing: just with stuff that she's done in the last few years, there's enough there to tank her run, but. If you start looking back into her and going all the way back to her Senate days and go all the way back to the White House, the Whitewaters thing, the Hillary Care fiasco, someone actually uncovered a deal where when she was doing the Hillary Care thing, there was a thing that she was doing. She was telling everybody, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That actually was in her deal with Hillary Care, and that was picked up by Obama, and Obama started using that as part of his strategy. And that actually started under Hillary when she was first lady.
And that was, we got the big Pinocchio Award for that, too. It was such a lie.
By the way, if you don't call her by the name Hillary, if you refer to her as Hillary Clinton, you're a sexist. Apparently, people in the mainstream media have decided that she's kind of like Madonna. You just have to call her Hillary. You don't have to say her name. And if you don't do that, you're a sexist.
Oh, good God. Here we go again. Let's change the way we say things. Can't say Comic-Core. You can't say global warming. You can't say Hillary Clinton.
No, it's just Hillary.
How stupid.
Isn't that the... Oh, God. It's like just Beyonce stupid. And Madonna and whatever.
Yeah. Well, they don't have last names, I don't think.
Yeah, so, well, that's kind of what they're saying is, well, she doesn't need one. She's going to be the first president of the United States. Okay, we only got about a minute or so left. You got any other comments about Hillary? I can't wait to see what... whatever. It should be fun.
Well, I think this is she's announcing today. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be it won't be a roller coaster for her. I think it's going to be a rocky road the whole way.
And I can't wait until the pressure gets so big she has to withdraw from the race. That's going to be
that will be a great thing, wouldn't it?
That will be. I will literally have a beer in her honor when she.
Well, if that happens, you know the Democratic Party's going to have to see it coming. They're going to have somebody in the waiting in the wings to take her place.
You got Uncle Somebody. Joe. Uncle Joe, he's ready.
Oh, you think Biden? You really? You don't think that, do you? Because I don't think
it's... No, I don't think it... No, I hope to hell... I hope it's either Joe Biden or Hiawatha.
Hiawatha?
I have been calling her Pocahontas. Elizabeth Warren we're talking about. I have been calling her Pocahontas. But someone else referred to her on Facebook as Hiawatha. And I thought that was... That's better than what I came up with.
She said she was Indian.
Yeah, and of course that's a big lie. Yeah. So from now on, she's Hiawatha.
Well, I mean, I can't think of anybody other than her or Biden or Al Gore. I mean,
Kerry.
Kerry.
Well, Kerry, Nobel Peace Prize, you know.
Yeah, Kerry to me would be the logical fallback.
But he was horrible before, so whatever. Okay, I guess we're about done. You want to take us out, Ken?
All right. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on Earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.